want to discuss, large or small, get into the zone. Coming to you live from the Fury Electric Studio on the Buzz Radio Network. Electric Avenue.
All right, welcome back. It is 12:33. In just a moment, Barrett Salib, BleacherReport.com. The more web-enabled devices you have, the faster internet speed your home needs. Matty T knows this. You should know this, too. Suddenly has you covered with the fastest speeds in all the land.
Like them.
Free access to Suddenly to go, too, so you can take your TV with you. Live local customer service keeping you online all the time. It isn't that the important thing. Why would you want to be online some of the time? Makes no sense. Nate's online right now. Pat's online right now. Matt's online right now. No one's paying attention to me. But luckily, Suddenlink will pay attention to you if you need them at 979-836-6901. You guys are kind of like everybody else in my world, just ignoring me. American Hustle, Frozen, so good. Saving Mr. Banks, The Book Thief, The Hunger Games, 12 Years a Slave, Academy Award winner, all out on video on demand from Suddenlink right now. What are you waiting for?
You're not going to go wrong with any of those.
No doubt. And if you need a telephone at home, they've got you covered there too. 979-836-6901. It's Suddenlink online at Suddenlink.com. 12:34 we go to Sticky's Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. Barrett Salib, BleacherReport.com. Hello, Barrett.
What's up, Barrett?
What's going on, guys?
How are you?
I'm staying busy, that's for sure.
Spring football is upon us, my friend. We had a story that broke this morning here in Central Arkansas about a former athlete from Central Arkansas who's moved on to other pastures, who has come back on spring break, got himself in a little bit of trouble. We're talking about Alti Tenpenny. What does this do, if anything, do you think, to his future on the depth chart at Alabama?
Well, it doesn't change it all that much because he didn't really have much future on the depth chart aside from maybe mop-up duty. You know, Derrick Henry and T.J. Yeldon are going to be the guys. I think Kenyon Drake is the change-up back, and Alti Tenpenny is the mop-up duty back. So, you know, I don't think it changes his the trajectory of his career at all because, I mean, let's be honest, he wasn't going to do an awful lot over the next few years anyway. It certainly makes Nick Saban's job of cutting down scholarship players rather easy. You know, I think, you know, last few years, you know, you've had a couple of pretty serious incidents that have, you know, made those decisions for Saban. So I think that may be, you know, in play here, especially if he's had some stuff go on behind the scenes that we don't know about yet. So it's not good. Not good if he ever wants to see the field, that's for sure.
Yeah. Is there an apples-to-apples comparison that you've seen with Saban as far as something like this where a kid that we know to be pretty good kid and don't know of any public incidents, at least, of misbehavior? What has he typically done in these situations? Is he a second-chance guy? Is he a guy that just buries you on the depth chart and makes you earn your way back up? Has he cut ties? I mean, what's his history?
It depends on the situation. I think a lot of times he does, you know, make it tough and make life difficult for those players. Especially, you know, I think if you know a kid's a problem kid and you know, he continues to get in trouble in college, then he may be a little quicker with trigger. But, you know, if it's a kid like Alti Tenpenny, who, for all accounts, is a pretty good guy, like Dee Hart was the same way, and then he got into a couple things back-to-back, and that really sent him to the doghouse. But if it's just a one-time incident, I would imagine he just makes life difficult, but you never know, you know, what's going on behind the scenes. Has he gotten in trouble before? You know, Alabama is one of several schools in the SEC that doesn't suspend on the first, you know, positive marijuana test. So, you know, if he's in that program, then that sort of changes that narrative a little bit and could complicate things. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, that's for sure.
What is the – do you know what the rule is in terms of a school versus the SEC and the NCAA? Because I had thought I read somewhere where the school doesn't have to report it and the NCAA will test, what, once a year? How does that? Do you know what the current status of all that is?
Well, it's all up to the school. The NCAA will only come in and really administer tests for certain substances, specifically, you know, I guess most importantly, performance-enhancing drugs. But most of the drug testing from a recreational drug standpoint is performed by the school. Is performed at the school. The punishment is left up to the school, and you know, there has been a push for universal SEC punishment. But you know, I wrote a story about a month ago with quotes from several athletic directors that stated that that's never going to happen. I think there's too many people that are more comfortable with schools deciding that in the same fashion that schools decide academic standards. You know, it is up to the school. Alabama is one that, you know, you get put on quote-unquote probation for the first one, and then the second one, you'll start losing some games and some playing time.
Barrett's Lee, BleacherReport.com, joining us on the Stiggy's Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. I saw Saban also speaking out in relation to the unionization issue this week, talking about players' rights, and according to Bleacher Report, I don't know who wrote it, but that it's going to do maybe him some good on the recruiting trail. What was his take on all that, and what do you think is going to happen as far as how does that help him, if any?
Well, I think he's just, you know, his voice obviously, you know, carries more weight than more people just because he's Nick Saban. And, you know, if players know that their head coach is fighting for them from a financial standpoint, you know, and getting, you know, compensation reform passed, that's desirable. You know, does that mean that Nick Saban's loading up his players with $100,000 on the table? No. But, you know, it means that he wants there to be some legitimacy to players being paid. And I'll tell you what, I've gone through probably four or five head coaches this spring and spoken with them at length, and almost all of them to a man are all four players getting compensated more, but all basically recognize that it's a really, really complicated structure that is sort of unnecessarily complicated, because there are some simple solutions, but in a situation like this, you know, high-priced lawyers that have high-priced legal fees tend to like to overcomplicate things so they can collect those high-priced legal fees. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, we're talking about kids in trouble in the spring. I guess there's a quarterback at A&M that's gotten himself, I guess, removed from practice for the duration of the spring. Does that impact at all their race as far as quarterback goes for next year?
Yeah, I think it does, because, you know, Kenny Hill, who was found passed out on a planter full of rocks, I mean, who hasn't been there?
Oh, God. If I had a nickel,
yeah,
Barrett.
I know. And he said his name was Kennedy, which is really close to Kennedy. So he was almost there. No, you know, that he was, you know, it was really between, I think, him and Kyle Allen, the true freshman early enrollee. And Matt Jokel, I think, is a viable backup, a viable number two, because he has, you know, that experience factor. But, you know, I think it really hurts Kenny Hill, because now he misses out the last week of spring practice. And really, and I wrote this yesterday, it really forces the offense to go to more of a pro-style offense for the final week of spring practice, because Kenny Hill was a dual threat. Kyle Allen and Matt Jokel are both the, you know, more traditional passers, the more Case Keenums for Kevin Sumlin. So now, you know, that's the offense for the next week. And so those players, that's going to be fresh in their mind, not just the quarterbacks, but everybody else around them. So I think it's big for Kenny Hill, because he's going to have an uphill battle fighting for that starting job once fall camp starts.
Does that impact at all your thoughts on A&M?
And not really, because, you know, Kevin Sumlin's going to have a fine offense. And his offense, he's going to make that work. You know, he successfully adjusted his offense to fit Johnny Manziel. It wasn't at all similar to what he ran at Houston with Case Keenum. There's nothing to suggest he won't go back if he has to, and I think he'll have to. But the offense isn't the issue. The problem is just how good will that offense be. It's not going to be as good as it was last year. And if you have a defense that's as bad as Texas A&M, you know, a slight drop off in offense could really, really swing the fortunes of the season.
Barrett, what else has stood out to you so far? I know it's kind of been weird with the breakup with spring break and everything, but as far as spring football so far, anything else that stands out to you as far as positions that are up for grabs at high profile spots?
Yeah, you know, Florida's been the one that I've been, you know, most interested in because of all that's at stake for Will Muschamp. And, you know, Driscoll seemingly answered all those questions, you know, coming off of injury and spring practice, you know, early during spring practice session. And then a guy that Will Muschamp, you know, has not been a fan of, DeMarcus Robinson, a wide receiver, a sophomore wide receiver. You know, he was suspended twice last year, been in the doghouse, but Muschamp has been praising DeMarcus Robinson. And this is a guy that, you know, he's 6'1", he's 210, he can run, he can jump, he can be that downfield threat. Will Muschamp seems to be really impressed with what he's doing in that offense. And so if you start putting those pieces of the puzzle together right now, that allows the rest of those pieces to sort of settle in during fall camp. And you're talking about an offense that I think may actually be a viable offense this year if they answer those questions this spring.
I hope not.
But we need more Muschamp in the SEC. I mean, yeah. You know, we got Muschamp on the sideline is just fantastic.
No doubt. I want him to do just well enough to stay here or stay there.
That's right.
Stay in the SEC.
That's right.
So. Okay, as far as Arkansas goes, I know Collins has not been in trouble with the law, but he's been in the doghouse a little bit. I guess what's your expectation for him? He carried the ball a little more heavily early on. Of course, you got Jonathan Williams, and I know they're looking for a fullback and maybe even a third option. Marshall's been sort of up in the air. But what's your expectation on the running back breakdown this coming fall as far as ratio goes?
Well, judging from the internet, Alex Collins transferred 7 times, right?
Yeah. We don't get caught up in too many rumors. We try not
you
to.
You shouldn't believe anything you read on the internet except for me, because all of my stuff is true. No, Alex Collins. You know, he's going to be a superstar. I think he'll be the workhorse of that, that offense. I think they're going to rely on him. I think it'll be a lot like last year where he was sort of the guy and Jonathan Williams was the 1B. And, Bielema makes that work. Now, I know, it's really Jim Chaney's offense, but, Bielema has done exactly that, quite often during his career, having – multiple stud running backs sort of, split carries and share the load. So I would expect Alex Collins to go, north of 1,000 yards again and score more touchdowns and be the superstar I think a lot of people, in Arkansas and around the SEC expect him to be. I think his offense is going to have to help him out because, if you know what's coming, it's pretty easy to stop. And if they don't have a passing game, it is going to make life a little difficult for Alex Collins, but he is capable enough to still have a solid season. Even if everybody knows what's coming, but it'd be really, really helpful if they mixed it up a little bit and had a little bit of a second dimension.
Can you refresh my memory, Barrett, your position on Manziel as a potential pro quarterback?
I love him. I don't watch a ton of NFL, but the thing with the NFL draft process is, people say, well, he's a gimmick offense. He doesn't make all the NFL throws. He makes every single NFL throw. He did throughout his entire Texas A&M career. It just looks a little different. Mm-hmm. You watch that Duke game. That second half of the Duke game was the best play of a quarterback I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, he was unbelievable. So, he'll be fine. He's just got to have an offense that, accepts him. And I think that's what a lot of these, mobile guys struggle with. Tim Tebow wasn't the greatest passer in the world, but he probably could have been successful if he had an entire organization buy into him.
Right.
But no NFL franchise is going to do that, so it takes – it takes a special franchise to actually go ahead and do that, and I don't know if there's one out there. Right
before. Well, that leads me to my next question, and Pat, I wanted to ask you about the Seagulls. We haven't talked about it yet today, but apparently there was a report that Manziel and Teddy Bridgewater were visiting New England today, which, of course, here in Arkansas, Barrett, as you understand, we have a dog in the fight there with Mallett at quarterback as the backup for Brady. But I would, in the same way we love to watch Muschamp on the sideline, it would be so much fun to watch Manziel, if he ends up in New England, interact with Belichick and that staff during a game. Now, he wouldn't really have to do much as long as Brady's there, but that would be interesting if that worked out that way.
That would be awesome. And think about the parties that Mallett and Manziel would have together. That'd be phenomenal.
You talk about a guy, too. I mean, and we don't talk about this enough. We bring up these stories anytime a kid gets in a little bit of trouble, like the situation with Tenpenny. But a guy that had a negative reputation that fell to the third round, that had no business in the third round, and Mallett has done nothing but keep his nose clean, stay out of the news, and work hard. And, I mean, you got to take some time to give the guy kudos.
Well, I mean, look, people have fun. College kids can have fun. Pros can go out and have fun, too. I don't get, the whole character issue during the draft process. It's so annoying because, I mean, who didn't do stupid stuff in college? Well, I did.
Oh, I did terrible
We talked
things.
To a guy from Patriots Weekly. He's the editor of Patriots Weekly. I mean, it was last week.
You do all the good stuff when I'm gone. Thanks.
And he feels like that the Patriots are just going to hold on to Mallett as a backup all next year and just not re-sign him.
Yeah.
Which I was hoping if they weren't going to re-sign him, they'd at least get something back in a trade for him before the draft.
I just wonder if there's – and again, we see this occasionally happen in NFL, NBA, other sports where guys just go, you know what? I got enough money. I'm good. And I know the competitive fire still burns in Brady because he's had a couple of near misses in his career.
Yeah.
But you just have to wonder if he's ever going to sit up in bed and look over at Giselle and go, geez, I could just wrestle with her all day and never have to be hit by a 320-pound defensive lineman ever again.
I feel like Giselle's a kind of woman that if you're not up and working as hard as she is, she's going to slap you and kick you out of the house.
Oh, I think most guys who are laying next to Giselle would be working real hard, big
that's
guy.
That's what I'm saying. She ain't going to let him lay down all day.
That's a lot of work, but it pays off in the end.
Yeah, you'd think so, right? I don't know. And again, he's the only NFL quarterback whose wife makes more than him.
That's true.
So
he didn't need that job.
No.
Why isn't Ryan Mallett starting up there? By the way, that makes a ton of. Why would Tom Brady?
I mean, again, you've got.
I'm telling you.
Your
Gisele
healthy.
Is not going to let him walk around in his house shoes all day. She's a tough Brazilian broad.
But he could be Boston mayor tomorrow. All he's got to do – in fact, he wouldn't have to wait till the next election cycle. They just vote him in tomorrow.
Listen, they had an illiterate freak as the last Boston mayor.
Tom and Nino. I love the Rondo guy. He's a great point guard.
The Rondo guy.
He's such an idiot. Yeah,
Timmy Brady.
Brady could be like the male version of Tim Zolciak. Just get paid to go to parties that he was probably going to go to anyway.
Man, that's a good gig.
I don't think Gisele would let him get away with that.
She's there. She's getting paid too. It's a great gig.
That would be.
They
could just host Red Bull parties all over the world and stuff.
That's
and
not a job.
It is.
Gisele wants a real man that wears Uggs and is in cologne commercials, okay?
Tag Heuer watches.
Yes,
he's all about
she
it.
Wants a real man.
I guess. Barrett, I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks, man.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it is weird. I don't know. At some point, you got to think, gee,